Welcome to the Clubhouse, episode 12.
Hey, really? Are we on 12 now?
We're on 12.
Shit.
You guys have been wasting each other's time for a minute now.
Of course we have. Right there chirping in is the one and only. Obakai, Big Bird, Fish, Hobi, joining
thanks.
Us today.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Let me tell you a funny story about Obakai.
Don't start exposing X-Files here.
Funny story. This man, the one day, wanted to do lineouts in the pool. I was the only person who could see the logic in what he was saying. But man, things got emotional. Things got emotional. Trying to fight the captain. Hey. It was a very funny story.
Yeah, and then what happened 2 days later? Achilles snapped, went.
In your face. That was.
We should have done lineouts in the pool, homie.
I told you.
I paid the cost.
That was funny. That was a good tour. This man, I haven't seen this guy in about 5 years, 6 years.
When they kindly,
has not changed.
When they kindly asked me to leave Namibia, it's like, no, you just please just.
The thing is, they waited till like 5:30 in the morning to wake him up and be like, dude, go. They could have told him the night before, but no, they didn't, because they knew. They knew if you tell him the night before, he's going to be like, to hell with this. I'm going drinking. Oh, man, that was so funny. Jeez. Good old days.
Okay.
It's not like that anymore, though.
Now that I've been exposed, age has mellowed me.
It's not like that anymore, though. It's so sanitized now. You don't have any crazy tools. You don't have any Ugandans.
We can't afford those things.
That's because
anymore.
The individuals who used to do that aren't there anymore, are they?
Yeah, well, you know, someone needs to carry on the legacy.
Carry the flame.
Someone needs to. But anyway,
so much to discuss.
Not really. Falau is still a homophobe.
Ooh, that's fine.
What else? Falau is still a homophobe.
But it's different, like, when you touch on the Falau stuff and everything like that, like, listen, you know what, people are going to say what the hell they want to say. And, you know, we're all different and stuff like that, so I got no comment on that. He did what he felt was necessary, but, like, I was chilling there thinking Australia had a chance, then Falau went, and I was like, mm-mm.
Then Pocock.
Pocock stays, that's Mr. Glass, he stays injured. Fantastic player, though.
Do you know what the issue is with the Falau thing again? Yeah, have your beliefs, but please just keep them to yourself.
Yeah, I know. You don't just shove it down people's throats. I agree with you 100%.
That's always the problem with religion. A lot of people want to shove it down people's throats.
That's what happens when you get high on your own. Drug dealing 101. Don't get high on your own supply.
Easy. The meth dealer. But he's got a gold tooth. That one has a gold tooth. I'm telling you.
Yeah?
But has anyone picked him up yet? Like in England,
some Chinese or Japanese club was training here. Yeah, we want you.
No, these guys. I know an NRL team wanted him to play, but the backlash they got just for meeting with the guy.
Damn,
it's bad.
It's cold, man. It's a shame actually, because really talented player.
To our listeners, apologies for that little grumbling sound in the background.
This
Zimbabwe
is Africa.
Has no power.
This is Africa.
And that's someone's genset running along.
TIA, homie.
You know
TIA.
What? It's like these people, I think they own a service station. Even when there is electricity, that fucking thing is still going. Even when there's zaps, I'm telling you. They don't, it's like they always, it's always on. That thing will be on 24.
Don't hate on their hustle, bro. They got the money.
Where are you getting the fuel from, though, bro? Because the fuel is not even there to find.
What I know about these people is the generator, and then there's a lady who drives an ML who has like 45.
Is she single?
You just said ML. Already, really, that's dodginess.
Don't roll your eyes on me. There ain't no shame in my game. Is she single?
I think so. I don't know. All I know is she just has different hair every time she drives past. Every time I see her, she has different hair. I bumped into her bummer. She's like, hi. I was like, who are you? She's like, how do you not recognize me? I'm like, fuck, like, honestly, I just said, who are you?
I don't know. No, but like, you're very incorrect. I don't know how to change your hairstyle as I change how black people look. I'm telling you. We also that, what was that, US Marshals? Wesley Snipes was hiding out and he was putting on disguises. We can see it's you, Wesley, just because you got a perm and a mustache. We know it's yeah, like people can't be secret agents.
Wesley's skin tone is one of a kind. That man is so dark.
Charcoal.
So dark.
Speaking from the perspective of a dark dude, bro, sweeter the berry.
No.
Sweeter the berry.
Oh, you trying to jump on the melanin club now.
But Idris has brought us back into fashion, Obi.
Idris is not dark anymore, though.
What, you got married, and all of a sudden started losing melanin?
Yeah, he started lightening up. Have you seen the trailers for that new movie?
His wife put bleach in his car. So every time he saw him, he's like, oh, I'm getting lighter. Babe, I think I'm getting lighter.
What's going on? It's the water.
What's going on, babe? I'm thirsty. Oh, I'm getting lighter, babe. Yo. Nah, I walked past Kyle Walker today. He was like, how's it? Fucking English people, man. It's so funny. So funny.
I mean, out of interest, what is happening on the local rugby scene, just for like my own personal...
Which one? The schools or the non-existent Super Six?
Okay, that seems a lot. Okay, let's keep it moving.
I'll give you a rundown. Schools, Falcon are dominating. They've won every game bar PE. St. John's have won two games.
And they played PE though?
Yeah, they played PE. Okay. They lost to PE first game of the season. But after that, they've just been smashing everybody. Been smashing everybody. PE lost to Churchill. So they're, you know. So at the moment, I'd say Falcon are the best team. At the moment, Falcon are the best team.
But Saints, like, schools like Falcon don't have an excuse. I mean, you have access to the boys 24/7. Don't they have floodlights?
Yeah.
Falcon should be in a situation where they have a legacy, where they should go undefeated for like 5 years. I mean, you've got full access to the boys. You've got the facilities.
Yeah.
What's going on with your program? Like, I don't understand why, like, Peterhouse hasn't produced a top quality side lately. Have they?
No. Last year's was good. Last year's side was good. This year, not so much.
I mean, like, you got floodlights on your field. The boys can still study and stuff like that. Have nighttime practices and everything like that. Not like it should be life. They should still enjoy their schoolboy career. But like, Falcon, you're in the middle of nowhere. What are you supposed to do? What are you doing
now?
Damn.
Ooh.
Everything gone cool. I saw a girl in a St. George's uniform. I was like,
not yet.
He was wearing like a St. George's tie with a black skirt and a white shirt. I thought it was definitely a St. George's tie.
So then what it'll probably be is St. George's, they absorb the French school. They absorb the French school. So it's probably, but not on the school grounds.
No.
There are no women walking around wearing St. George's stuff on the school grounds.
Okay.
That I can tell you.
Sorry, excuse me. Okay, let me just go pick them up.
just leave them. No, leave them.
I'll pick them up on my way out.
No, it's fine. I'll just put dirt over there. Well, Simba will pick them up. I don't know.
And on the club scene,
there has been no first team rugby for
six.
No, more than six. 2 months.
2 months.
Yeah.
For
about 2 months, there's been no first team rugby. It's actually coming back this weekend. All of a sudden, Met Warriors have money and are able to travel.
Are they going to Mutare?
They're going to Mutare. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So Met Warriors are playing Mutare, OGs are playing OMs.
But why don't they do like just basically what the basics of the Gold Cup is? Just make it all regional. You get more teams in Mutare, they play against each other. Like
you just can't. There's no depth. There's no player depth.
Like
in Mutare, but then how do you guys create depth though? You understand?
What
you gotta you, you gotta you gotta you gotta give. You can say there's no depth and everything like that. But like you know, just do some drives, get people interested in rugby, make more clubs and stuff like that. And sooner or later, you can't start off at the top. Then you build up, and then you get more teams, more people playing rugby. You save money because everyone has a little regional tournament, and then the champs from all those regional tournaments go into like a Super Six.
What the issue is when kids leave school. That's the biggest issue. That year or two, there's nothing. There's nothing for those guys. Yes, we've got an under 21 league, but realistically, I mean, and having a look at that, it's just ridiculous. Like, bro, earns a winning game's 130 baht.
But that's how it starts, man. That's how it starts.
I guess that's how it starts. Varsity rugby is also decent.
Someone needs to take the hit. You have to start off somewhere.
Yeah, you have to start off somewhere. But then, having said
and
that,
then bridge, and then coaches. Bridge the gap through development.
But the
and coaching programs.
And then, but then now also the coaching in Zim is ring fenced.
Like ring fenced, as in.
As in.
In house.
Coaching courses. We're not encouraging people. Hey, there's a level 2 course today.
Mm.
We're not running 3 or 4 a year.
Okay, it's just like once.
It's now once, or if you get 10 people, you find 10 people, then you have to pay, which again, you actually shouldn't be paying much for it, or you're, yeah, but that's another story here or there. But anyway, because I've researched
let's not touch on that point.
Let's not touch on that. So then, so now it just becomes a systemic issue. And then now what's going on with this whole thing that's cutting with the Presidium and people then fighting against the whole. Now it's just another. The issue is not individuals. The issue is the system. You got to fix the system.
Mm.
You want to take. Like now, all this stuff going on.
We need to touch that, Gav.
Ish, it's just too long. It's too much.
We need
it's too much.
I know it's too much, but it needs to be touched because my goodness, it's. You know what the funny thing is? This to me feels like a repeat of when Team Costa and crew tuned. This is rubbish.
Yeah, I right? Remember that crew, right?
Okay, right.
And the rebels.
The rebels.
Unruly OH players.
Like, you know what the funny thing is? The funny thing is right now? OH players, we're away. We're not involved.
Well, no, technically we are involved.
Okay, yeah, well, like, 2 people, but like, everybody else.
2! Who's the second one?
And it was TK and Musa were at the press conference. Everybody else was like, fuck that.
I didn't see Musa.
I just want to play rugby.
And
man.
Now.
It's too much effort.
Check out. Check out.
Bro, you just want to play rugby. It's too much effort.
It's time out of your life. 11 o'clock. You went to go into town at 11 o'clock to go and. Come and point and shout and nah, you know what, bro? I want to play rugby. I don't care about anything
else. I think you're like, listen, if we got some responsible people in charge, but I think the major problem here with Zim Rugby is it's like a lot of people pipe up. There's too much access. A lot of people have something to say.
It's a Twitter.
Yeah, a lot of people have something to say, but they're not putting up their hands trying to make a change.
And I had an argument with someone a few weeks ago. It's selectivism. It's the easy way to go on Twitter with your 150 characters and say, FZRU, things aren't going well, where is the money, ... ...
Hashtag.
Ah, done. And then you sit and you chill. You don't do anything about it. You don't do anything about it. But even when you go about it, it needs to go through the right processes in the right way.
Mm.
Now we've just got selectivism where people... I had an argument with some Kenyan dude posted all this stuff. Hey, what, they treat us poorly, blah, 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 blah. Okay, you tweeted about that and then. And then. You know, if you want to make a difference, get in the structures, get in the system, get involved. Yes, it might be ring-fenced, but you've got to just, that's when you start tweaking and make sure that you can't be shut out. I mean, it's like that with every system.
Yeah,
you can't steer the ship when you're on the shore.
I mean, look at it this way. Our under-20s couldn't even beat Madagascar.
Yeah.
We couldn't even get... Do you know where we
what
are
was,
now?
What was the issue? Was it a skill level conditioning? Because I know those Madagascar guys are fit the heck.
No, it was just bad tactics, to be honest. You get a penalty for a rolling maul that's been pulled down, then you go tap and go. You're in front of the poles, and you tap and go. Why?
Let's not talk about World Cup qualification 2 years ago. That happened at senior level. I don't know about that.
That 2 years ago? What you know? Last year? What about last year? We finished 5th out of 6. No, we were 5th or last?
We were 5th. We were 5th. We beat someone to
we
stay
beat
above.
Uganda to stay, to just stay above Morocco. Bro, we drew with Morocco.
Yeah, that's not sounding too good.
But hey, I mean, you know, we're in Super Sport Challenge, you know.
What challenge?
How are we doing in the Super Sport Challenge?
We lost every game.
No, I kind of got depressed. I kind of got depressed when I was watching the game.
With an academy team full of 30-year-olds. Look, I've got nothing. Like I always say this. I've got nothing against the odds there. You know, good on you. But fuck, man, you're an academy team. The oldest person there should be 25. Let's be honest. If you're going to call an academic team, even 25 is too. What they should have done is they should have had Zim under 23 play in the Currie Cup under 21 competition.
Nah, man.
Yeah.
Under 23 playing under 21.
That takes away from the whole thing. I understand what you're trying
to say. But they won't win it.
But I think the major problem that we have at junior representative is the guys don't get enough exposure. We select a team, they do one or two camps.
Oh, for Craven Week and stuff. Mm-hmm. No, it's terrible. No, exposure is terrible. I mean, look at it this way. Under 14, you play Craven Week. Then you have to wait till under 17 to play Craven Week. Then you wait till under 18 to play Craven Week. So that entire gap from under 14 to under 17, what's going on?
Yeah, but like that's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. I think these kids, you can't just expect them to step to the big stage. They have to be broken in and have continuous competitive games.
But how are they going to do that, though?
I don't know. I'm just saying.
That's the issue. How are we going to manufacture that situation?
I am just taking the horse to the river. I can't force these people to drink. I'm just pointing in the right direction.
That's the thing. Like, how it's a scary thing. What's happening right now? Because,
but like, hold on. Like now we're saying that we are not. Sorry to cut you off. You can go back to your point. Is school rugby not as competitive as it was when we were growing up?
No.
It's not. Because in fair and fine, it was a long time ago. In my years, schoolboy rugby was competitive, and when those guys went to Craven Week,
they did something.
They did something. They were competitive.
Look, the level of schoolboy rugby has dropped, right?
And what is that? Is that a coaching
it's
issue?
It's a coaching issue. It's a coaching issue. I don't know if Gavin will chime in. We discussed it last time.
So the level of school rugby has dropped. Is it a coaching issue? Kids don't like. Kids are preferring to play cricket.
No. What it is, I think, to be honest with you, is we failed to keep up with the evolution of the game to a large extent. And if we say coaching issue, I had this argument again. I think at under 14, under 15, under 16 level, we're not really instilling the basics. Actually, young will go even further back in terms of primary school. We had a clinic with under 14s.
Okay.
The kids were diving into tackles like this.
So at 14, they don't know how to tackle correctly.
We had to.
The bare basics.
The real basics. And then also, you look at our rugby culture. I think Isuzu is a country we have lost in our rugby culture. We don't understand that most of the pros that made it are forwards. Okay, they're forwards. We actually have some big boys in this country, some huge men. We should actually be looking to play a more physical. We're in the position where we've got some skill in the backs, got a bit of pace.
Mm-hmm.
We can have a good mix of both. But yet we like to lie to ourselves and say we're New Zealand. And then the crowd, when the moment someone goes, but they like, throw a double skip pass. The thing
my
that
view,
we hold
my
important,
view on that, I think you're correct in some aspect, but my view on it is I don't think, not taking a jab at selectors, but I don't think we select well balanced teams. Is that if you look at the All Blacks, fair and fine, like you will not see a loose trio of Fofita, Akira and Adi Savia. It's not balanced.
It's not possible.
So when we go and we select our teams, we select 15 or 22 stars. Like they're all ball carriers and stuff like that. Do we select grunt workers, guys who ruck, guys who turn over the ball, guys with a high work rate?
You see, that's where I'm saying our culture as well. Culturally, we like the guys who are no sparker. They go make it a crock. Oh, yeah. Ah. We don't actually look at the real grafters.
Spectacles.
The real hard workers. You're 100%.
Because you need to have a balanced team.
We need to have a balanced team.
Because the guys who are running that support line, they're all runners. Attacking players will run the support line or they'll hold back waiting for distribution of the ball and everything like that. They're not guys who like gun to the ruck, secure possession and or make the tackles.
And it's a cultural thing and it comes to back down to our rugby cultures and we are lost in terms of the ideals. Maybe then you can say it hops back to coaching, but then again, coaching is quite subjective because what's important to you, if we're both head coaches, right? I play a style of game where I'm not really focused on the tough stuff, the tight exchanges. Mm-hmm. I like to swing the ball around, you know. I'll have that style of play. You've got a very monster type thing, yeah, style of play.
So what you, 1 to 8 are the most important.
1 to 8 are the most important, but for me, yeah, let's skill level, a lot of balls out the back. So now it's subjective to what I feel is important to me and what you feel is important to you. But the problem is that subjectivity is happening at too early a stage. Mm. If it was happening at a later stage, like at first team, then you know you can get away with it. You'd be like, okay, fine, now it's just coach on coach.
Mm.
Okay, but it's happening at under 13, where the one coach would be like, ah, no, it's who we want to go pick and drive. Yeah, that's all we're doing. My nephew's in grade 3, right? The smaller one. He was told that forwards aren't allowed to run with the ball, that all a forward can do is tackle.
No, that's prehistoric, though.
Well, that's honestly what he was told. That's all a forward can do. This is a kid in grade 3. An 8-year-old has been told that you're a forward, you ruck and you tackle. You cannot pass the ball. You cannot run with the ball, you ruck and you tackle. That's it.
Then Mikey was told. Mikey was told because you're tall, you're going to be a prop. Right? All I want to do is take the ball and sidestep. So Mikey was told.
Props don't sidestep.
He's being told two different things. You're told, so you're a prop, but when you do sidestep, that guy.
Well, that obviously just means on a school level, it's just like what Gavin was saying, on a school level, they don't have a system or a structure. Like when they go from one age group to the age group here. Like, I mean, if he's 8, okay, and you're saying, they say, okay, now you're flanked, you need to do A, B, C, D.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe not even the ball carrying, you need to do A, B, C, D. You now need to attack them more, you need to do this.
Yeah.
Then now when you're older, this is like, I know last year we said this, but we're working on your skill set. Now you are ball carrier. Now you need to make ground in the tight loose.
Exactly. And you know, this is the scary thing. I mean, we've got, at Saints, we have that system now, you know, where like, okay, under 14, under 15, under 16. You've worked on this. We've developed this. You are the under 16 coach next year. What do you want from your players? So I know now.
Yes.
So I know now what I can develop. But
that should all be funneling down from... I know coaching contracts don't last that long. But like, if you know you're there for 5 years, 6 years, and you know these form twos are going to be your upper sixes, you trickle down with all the coaches.
But that's exactly. But now you see, now in a lot of school systems, it now becomes about the win on the Saturday. That's the issue. It's all about the win on the Saturday. You don't care how you do it.
Yeah.
You just want to win. So we're not focusing on actually getting the player right and fix. That's why there's all this age cheating nonsense that goes on.
Right.
Because it's all about the win at all costs.
Is it? Because like there was a big rant on Facebook.
Anyway, on to better chat.
Right.
Australia under 20s, man. They're going to win the under 20 World Championship. Those motherfuckers
are SA good. Lost that game.
Against France.
That game... I don't understand how that game got lost by SA.
I lost interest when New Zealand went out. I was so disappointed. I've never seen a Kiwi side get physically bullied.
But let me tell you.
Like that.
Let me tell you, those kids, the lock who ran in the try from the line out, the captain, Mpana Pendulani. Those boys are special. Because that last year, their Sharks under 19 team went unbeaten. And not unbeaten, Yayoti. They will win one game by 15, another by 2 10.
2 points or whatever.
Smashed everyone. Minimum 27 point March. They were unbeaten.
So it was a good crop, basically.
They were fucking they were out of this world.
But hold on, you're calling Australia. I understand things. I'm not up to date on it. You're calling Australia. But did Australia get done in by England?
No. Oh, they got done in by England because they got
during the qualification.
No. During the round
pool
robin
stages, yeah.
During the pool stages, yeah, they did because they got a red card. They got a red card, and then they got another red card against Argentina, and Argentina didn't score a point.
Oh my God. Going back to the New Zealand game, South Africa played 30 minutes with 14 guys, and New Zealand still couldn't beat them. South Africa got 3 yellow cards. That's 30 minutes.
My guy.
I was like, and South Africa was playing fine with 14 dudes. I was like, they could have just left the other guy.
South Africa crop is good, man. When you see a team with a white dude on the wing, you know it.
Kune something.
Because with all the colors, all the colors, the chiseling, all the black ones, they've got center. A white dude on the wing, but their 10 is special. The 10 and the 9.
The short, stocky one. I liked him. He's going to die for the gap. I like his wraparound play.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Very good.
And the two nines, actually, there was the colored nine.
I thought he was the afro.
I thought he was good. Then there's the little black kid that came on as well.
He's also with magic feet as well. And with the goal kicking.
Yeah, both of them. No, they were the colored dude, the starting scrum off. I thought his speed of clearing the ruck and his decision making was
crisp. Spot on, bro.
And then you just like, it's like half after the black kid comes on and the black kid just keeps the defense checking because he's so nippy.
And he can sidestep on glass.
Ups the tempo. Yeah, he ups the tempo, huh? Because he's also got really good surface as well. But he snipes around a lot more than the colored kid, huh? And I was just really impressed.
It's a Smith Perenaro. Classic Smith Perenaro.
Don't get me started on Perenaro. Perenaro would still make all blacks on the flank. That boy turns over a ball. That's a forward in a nine jersey.
Remember last season when he caught that ball in the air?
There's nothing like it.
Tanted it down.
Actually, sorry, guys. I forgot to even say this. Hepiko Hetanifa. Yes! The Chiefs! Come on! Come on!
The Chiefs final are going to get
Buenos Aires.
We are going to get those RGs.
We're going to get smoked.
Those Argentinians and Ottawa. I don't even know. I only know the number two hooker's name, but like it's solely skipped my mind. I don't even know. Those guys can make 11 changes. That's a national team. It's not easy.
But okay, like I've said this before, that short kicking game that the Jaguars have, those the grubbers, the chips, those little short kicks.
No, but the Jaguars, if you look at the Jaguars back line, I don't think they have a single short player. I think the number nine is short. The whole back line is long. They're all tall, which just makes good strategy, and their ball sense and everything, and their continuity is improved
those
so
guys,
much.
Those guys are good, but I think the Chiefs have got this one. Because the way the Chiefs have been playing the last couple of weeks,
they've upped up the.
Did you see what Brody did? Is Brody back? Brody's back.
Because Brody Metak is 10 men. I'll give them a chance.
Big Brody. Sam Kane is back.
Who is the Canadian lock? I swear if that guy was a Canadian.
Tyler Audren.
That guy would be an All Black. He'd be an All Black. If he wasn't Canadian. That man is amazing.
He's a monster. But you know the Chiefs always do that. The last time they had an English dude, this guy went over to New Zealand to coach rowing. And seriously, Simons. Matt Simmons.
And they picked him up.
He went to go and coach rowing. Played club rugby one game, two game, three games, Waikato.
Come here.
He plays ITM Cup, Dave Rennie. Contract Chiefs. The Chiefs always manage to get a forward from another country. And it's just also like
the All Black guy. What's his name? Tava, the prop.
Oh, Tava.
Where they let him go at the Waratahs. He didn't have a contract. Then he came back, played a little bit of, there were injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Made the Chiefs.
KT.
Then all of a sudden, All Blacks come, son.
But then what about Tui Nukuafe? The guy who was 170 kgs. He had to come back.
He had to come back for health reasons. His doctor says, if you don't stop playing rugby again, you're going to die.
Next thing you know, within 2 years, All Black.
Sorry. If you don't start playing again,
you will die.
His natural body weight was like 170, 180 or something like that. And the doctor said, my guy, you're overweight. If you don't go back to rugby, you will die. And that's why he started playing rugby again.
Imagine what it must be scrummaging against someone like that. Because he's had to carry 170 kilos everywhere. So if he's trimmed, he trimmed down to like, what, 130?
Can you imagine being 140 fit, bro? I'm sure fitness. I'm sure that dude is like 140 and he's fit.
Isn't that the stuff you cream yourself over, you props?
Just depends on which end. If he's on your team, yes. If he's on the team, no.
I'd hate you scrumming. Who was it that was telling me? There was a guy who was playing. It was TK actually. TK prop one game, Karun. And he's like, no, never again.
That's a dark world.
Remember that, like, that last game at OH we played where I was propping him? HP run! And I'm like, dude, I've just done a flipping scrum. Now you're like, run.
It's not easy.
You can't.
It's not easy. And like, you as I said, when I played in South Africa, these people put me a prop. I was 105. I was 105 kgs. That was my fitness weight. Fair and fine. I was carrying a lot of muscle, but I was only 105. And these guys, titans, were 130, 150. Props didn't have to.
Yeah, but you're tall.
Yeah, props
didn't. 105 and tall. You must have been skinny.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they said. I was like, but no, I'm a flank. And they was like, no, my boy. I think it was back in the day in South Africa where, like, flank was too much thinking for a black guy. They just used to put us a prop in the wing. Yeah.
it's always prop in the wing.
It was always used to be prop in the wing, but, like, I know things have changed. And this wasn't back in the day where you had that hand. You know, there was a big distance between us, and we used to smash it. Boom. Used to smash into each other. This guy is like 50, 60 kgs already. And then what annoyed me was there was one game at club, because club is where they had this dream that I could play prop. And they put me there. Then I got dropped for one of the biggest games of the season, because they said, like, no, these guys have a big forward pack. You're too light. We're going to bulk up our forward pack.
Mm.
And I looked at them, I was like, it's not like I'm playing this position by choice. Great you guys choice. Are forcing me to be here.
I have a friend.
Let me play flank and I'll be fine.
Yeah, I have a friend. He's playing. He was at UCT as well. He stopped playing because, hey, he cracked me up. He fractured his spine.
Oh, damn.
He fractured it, but he didn't know it was fractured. And he played seven games.
And then why did he get it? Just the little pins and needles and stuff. That was the same thing with my neck.
Because you got pins and needles and then he clicked. He made a line break. And then he was looking. He heard us. Someone shot to his left. He looked to his left. He's like, nah, it's not close enough. Then he heard him shot to his right. And he tried to look to his right. But he could only like move like 10 degrees. He's like, ah.
This is not right.
Ah. And then he's like, no, let me try force it. He tries to force it. Then he just collapses. His whole left side just collapsed. And then he fell. Then like he got up and everyone was laughing. Like, ah, you know, prop speed wobble. But he was like, nah, dude. Something ain't right. Then he goes to the doctor. The specialist goes, dude, you play rugby, right? He's like, yeah, I do. He's like, ah, your neck muscles are the strongest I've ever seen.
Because that's what's supporting his back.
Prop. Because he's a prop. That's what kept him from getting paralyzed.
Hmm?
And then he had to have the surgery. Hey, man, propping is...
Now, was it higher up his neck or lower?
It was higher up because the scar is like...
Yeah, no, I've got one there. So about C7, C6.
Big, long-ass scar. Looks pretty cool, though. But like, you know.
Trust me, I got one of those. It does not get you chicks. Because you have to be looking in the other direction.
You have to be looking in the other direction. Could be like, hey, I have a cool scar. Look, yeah, and then you turn around.
They got her.
Who is she got? Next thing you know, she's busy. Like, oh, Jesus. Ah, fuck, man. But yeah, so quarterfinals, Crusaders obviously going to beat the Islanders.
Why you got to do that? Why you always doing that?
This is why we watch sports, guys. We watch sports to see the impossible happen.
Why do you always do that? Remember that day when we were like, Crusaders are going to win this game. And they got rap what?
Yeah, that was a match fix.
What game was that? Was that by Chiefs?
Oh, and Silver.
Yeah, when they were playing in Fiji.
Yeah, back the Chiefs, man. I always back the Chiefs.
But that, when we were talking that day before, we're like,
I said Chiefs.
But I don't know what's going on with the Crusaders right now, because like, listen, they're not the Crusaders that began the season.
No, they're not.
The Crusaders that began the season, the error rate was minimalistic. It was so small. Those guys were not making mistakes. Now the team that we're seeing now is kind of error prone. Lot of knockouts, a lot of turnovers.
I just think they're trying a lot. Because, you know, they're trying to change their system mid-season, which is always very difficult because they were playing a 1-3-2-2.
Okay, the forwards.
Yeah, they're playing a 1-3-2-2, yeah. And then they tried to change it again. What?
1-3-2-2.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's just...
Yeah, no, I know what it is. I'm just trying to my picture why that would work.
Right, they just why wouldn't it work?
No, think about it.
If your middle part were, if the three, if they do their job, if they hit up hard,
then you've got a lot of
the amount of options you have. Don't forget those two pods of two. You've got a center there in behind. You've got a center in behind. Mm. So now you've got two pods of three.
Yeah,
multiple
outside your 10. Thank you. You can play in behind. You can go in behind. There's so much shit you can do.
And then it keeps your decision makers on their feet. Because like if there's a set defense, just give it to a forward. Let him take it up, clean it out, and then you've got all your decision makers there.
If there's a gap, you can play it. The ball in behind, the bump in behind. Mm-hmm. It's fascinating. I know it's a bit too complicated for you, but it's fine.
Ooh.
And it's really impressed me the way just generally just forward handling. Has improved
over the last 5 years, 5-6 years. Yeah.
But there was that game. Which one? It was, because I know the All Blacks have lost a couple, but there was a game they played against Ireland, I think in the States. They lost that one. But it was a year before where they did a last minute comeback and then Reed scored. And Reed, I think they won.
No, they won. Yeah.
And Reed scored, but in did you Ireland. See that place? They went blindside. Then they gave it to Scott Barrett. Then Scott Barrett took it to the line and played a flat ball to Reed coming at an angle. Forwards couldn't do that back in the day. He saw the gap. He set it up. He drew his two people. He put the captain away. Captain went over the post. They won the game. And I don't think that was a set move. That was just vision and playing what's in front of you.
And again, you see, now it goes back to philosophy and principles. Even from the very beginning, even at grassroots, that subjectivity. What's important to New Zealand rugby is having skilled rugby players.
Yeah.
Having skilled rugby players. Not having big dudes or having backs, just backs. Backs are the only ones who can pass and run with the ball. Forwards, all you do is ruck and tackle.
But at the same time, it's changed. Not back in the day which is what initially what I loved about rugby. It was like rugby was a game for everyone, fat, small, short, and everything like that. And I mean, it's still basically that. But at the top levels, they're athletes.
These guys are
6'5", can do 40 meters in like 5'2", 4'5", seconds, and they're like proper athletes, strong, physical, freakishly strong. I mean, you can't even. Adi Zavier does not look like a big dude.
But he's fucking gigantic.
He doesn't look like a big dude, like in comparison when he's surrounded by his peers. Or when he plays against against these South African teams. Like, the guys are just as big. But, like, he hits that wall, and he still makes meters. It's like he just grabs the ball, and it's like, Wakanda forever. And he just goes.
That's what I love about him, man. That guy, I'd love to see his power-to-weight ratio. Because he's
just ridiculous. Because so isn't he just like 100, 105? He's not, like, up in those 110s.
103.
It's about 103. And he's just explosive.
He's the size of a center. Well, not saying that. That's not saying much. Reese Hodges is 194.
But we're getting, as rugby players on the top level, we're getting lighter, which is the whole athlete thing. They're not getting any weaker, they're getting lighter. Because remember, a 103 center wasn't a big deal back in the day when Tana and Miramira were playing. Guys were like 110, 112 at center.
Yeah.
Jonah was 119 on a fit day. 122 when he skipped, when he had too many burgers.
It's like, no, man, like, I'm 98 now, you know, which is average weight for a center. And then you see these super rugby guys, they're like 90, they're on their 98, 99, but the size difference, you're like, holy fuck.
I mean, let's talk about Damien McKenzie. That dude is not a buck over 80. He must be about 78.
81 at the most. They'll say 81 for the stats.
For the stats.
They always lie.
But he makes his hits, though. He makes his hits. I mean, there was that wing from the Waratahs. He's injured.
What's his weight if he's 81?
No, guys. No, that dude is 77. Like, I've never seen him in real
life. How heavy is TJ?
Parana.
Yeah.
TJ's big. For like a scrum off.
He's about 84.
No, TJ's in the 90s.
He's in the 90s.
TJ's in the 90s.
Are you kidding me?
TJ's got heavy bone structure.
Aaron is somebody what then?
Yeah, no, Aaron will probably be under 90. He'll probably be in the 80s. Because TJ is actually taller.
He's tall, yeah. He's not a small man, dude.
That's the thing about the TV, until you actually see like a comparison with someone that you know. Like when I first saw a picture of Sonny Bill with Maraba in them, I was like, good lord, this nigga's tall.
No, he's gigantic. Like, he's
but Sonny Bill is still around the 110 region, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
He's still like, so he's...
Speaking of that, I'll never forget the first time I watched the box play. It was 2004. They were on tour in Ireland. They were playing in Dublin. And I remember standing there watching them warm up and just thinking to myself, this is not normal.
No, those guys are bigger.
These guys are huge. And the thing is, it wasn't just 102. You look there, the forwards, you see Buckies, Matfield, Josh, but you're like, fuck. You look at the backs. Percy Montgomery is a giant. He's massive. You and I be laughing at him at home. This guy's a pussy. He's fucking big. Yeah. John De Villiers. Fucking, what's his name, man? Jacques Fury.
They had to put him on a diet, bro. When I played under 21 with him, he was like 110. They had to put that guy on a diet. That guy was like playing schoolboy rugby at 107, 180.
He's so big.
That shock came with when I met Pocock at Sekai's house. Because he came down to Sekai's house. That dude is
He's like that wide.
Pocock is just walking biceps. It's like he's just on wide. His like, arms
what is going on? Large. David Pocock is what happens when PTSD hits. That's honest. The honest truth. No lie. No shit. That guy trained so hard.
He's huge.
Maybe explains his injuries. Just needs to rest more.
I think it was because of what happened at the farm and stuff and whatever. But like he was like, who takes weights on a family holiday?
David Pocock.
Did you see him at that year off when there was in that like a game park, training with those game rangers, running around like carrying dudes
like
yard?
Looked like a man with children, bro.
Bruh.
Looked like a man with children. It was just ridiculous.
And then we've got Bulls Hurricanes.
It's like I don't even bat.
What is obvious?
I wouldn't even bat an eyelid.
Canes
for me. But that's just out of sheer loyalty.
The Canes have got it.
But like, listen, the Bulls are competitive. They've got size and everything like that. But like, Hurricanes is simple. We have, and I think it's the evolution of rugby. People are still focused on set piece lineouts and that kind of ball position. Hurricanes are number one for turnovers at the ruck. Now, if you think about it, at a professional game where their skill level is high, they're not gonna be too many knock-ons. Well, we prefer so, and lineouts penalties you get. They're gonna be like 12 or 15 of both scrums and lineouts of the game. Whereas a ruck is continuous. If you watch a Super Rugby game, I think it was when the Chiefs held out that Australian team. Yeah, they made 122 tackles. Fair and fine, you can minus some for offloads and everything like that. But basically, all of those become a ruck. With a multitude of that. So if you're there, you can win a game with no possession. But if you manage the ruck, you've got it. And that's what we do. That's what we do at the Hurricanes. We dominate. RD Sevilla dominates. We got that Duplessis boy. We dominate the ruck situation. And then we just fire out.
Duplessis boy.
Then we just fire it out. We just fire out to our backs. We're savages.
Your backline is sick.
And to be quite honest, you can't turn around and say that is the most talented backline in the last 7 years that we have produced. We have no scudder. I don't even know what our center pairing is.
This is not Lamb.
No, Ben no, Lamb is there.
It's,
okay, Lamb, let me know. Like Ben Lamb is a freak of nature. There's Proctor. Sorry. Let me not disrespect the troll. Lomapi is quality. But it's still looking like he might, even though he's like, I think he's number one on the top five for bust meters. He might miss out on the World Cup squad.
He will miss out.
So who do you think they're going to go with?
They're going to go with Uncle Ma any
day. I'm not too sure Ma will make it either.
Ma will make it.
We've got this Guju boy.
Guju.
We've got Leonard Brown.
Yes, Leonard Brown.
We've got Sunny Do.
We got Crotty.
Then we've got this genius that came out of nowhere, that Aino boy who can play wing or center. I think he deserves maybe.
Like Aino.
Aino is amazing.
You were bigging him up last time.
Aino is the wing. The wing center.
Oh, Aino. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, the guy from... Nah, he won't make it. He's fucking quality.
No, he's quality. But I think it's too soon for him.
It's too soon, yeah. Next year, the All Blacks are a scary team.
And they're losing so much talent as well. And I don't know why they're complaining about...
They've got talent to fill in.
I don't know why they're complaining about loss. They've got that Reese guy. I don't know if he's eligible.
He is eligible.
Isn't he an islander? Sebu Reese is eligible.
Yeah, he's Fijian. He got given a scholarship.
I hold that center from the Lions, Cocker Smith, in the highest...
Bounce!
...regard. That man punches above his weight. He is a fantastic I don't know what's going on with the box. That guy needs to be the starting dude there when he comes back from his hamstring. But he got manhandled by this guy.
Sebu Reese made a tackle. What's that guy's name?
Oh, Alai Malo.
Oh! He laid him out.
Oh, savage.
Oh!
And it always happens. These savages come out of nowhere. These little savages that you've never heard of just come out of nowhere.
Yeah, Sebu Reese is actually a bolter. But I don't know now. Naolo's not playing well.
Naolo's going. He's already signed. He's off next year.
I know he's going to London Irish.
Yeah.
But I'm saying World Cup.
I know World Cup he'll be there. You can't leave now. They complain about his defense and stuff like that, but they're not gonna do major hoals.
I think.
Who's gonna be there? And also I don't understand All Blacks. How do you put like the person like All Blacks, your selection? It has to start wherever he plays. You just have to pencil him in Ben Smith. But I don't understand how you made him play the best fullback in the world. Fair and fine, he's adaptable. I don't understand why they play him on the wing.
Well
he will play games on the wing.
I think this time they have to play him on. You see, I think for fullback he's a bit exposed in terms of the aerial battle.
So he doesn't lose in the air though.
No, he doesn't lose in the air, but then it's a risk because you know with his concussion history.
So you think they'll go with Jordy for height?
Probably go with Jordy, and then they'll have Bendo on one wing, Rico on the other. When Naholo plays, he either starts or he doesn't.
Yeah, you won't be. He'll just be rotated in and out of the squad, either starts or sits and watches.
How many more seasons do you give Rico Ioane at the Blues?
You'll be a Blues man all the way.
Listen, guys, the Blues are sorting out their situation.
But Bolden's going to the Blues.
Bennett.
Don't be the bringer of bad news.
Are you serious?
Why the hell would he go to the Blues?
You guys watch that space.
Govin, go to the Blues. What are you saying?
I'm serious. He's out of contract at the Canes. And they're looking to move him away from the Canes. Because they need to strengthen the Blues. The Blues don't have a 10. That's their biggest issue.
They've got that Oteri Black kid. That's why we got that. That's why we got a higher West. Oteri is like, listen, guys. No disrespect to Aya, but like if the game is open, that guy is dope, but he's not there anymore. But Oteri Black, I saw him at junior black level. And I mean, just because you just don't slide straight into the system and make a big splash like all these other guys do, it does not mean he's not quality. Oteri Black is quality.
We know Oteri Black is quality, but he's injury prone.
So you're saying Bolden is moving there because the union wants to balance out the Blues?
Yeah, they can balance. They need to balance out the Blues.
The Blues don't need.
That's an interesting point of view.
No, man, the Blues as a squad, they just have to work on their coaching ethos.
Because Nono's going back.
They performed.
They performed really well.
They performed a lot better than they did.
Yeah, they performed really well.
And let's be honest, they've got Nanai. They don't need to be strengthened. They got like that. I think his first name is TJ. He's a center, but basically he's a human battering ram. Fine.
I know the guy we're talking about, Levi Amua as well. Yeah. He's a center. Dude, the center is 120 kg.
They've got that red-haired ginger dude who's going to be a black as well, the blindside flanker. He's had a fantastic season.
Oh, Robinson.
Season,
yeah. Oh, he's had a good season. He was actually a bolter. Yeah. I thought he was a bolter.
They've got that Papa.
Papa Ali.
Then they've got Rico and his brother as well. That is savage. If Patrick is still there, they've got Carl. That is a strong team. They just haven't clicked yet.
Again, also, there was the comment being made that Leon McDonald didn't have the team he wanted because he just inherited that team, so he didn't have a preseason to move, do the transfers he wants. And I think there is an opportunity for Bolden to go there. If he goes there, he goes there.
I don't think he'll jump.
But it's not jumping ship, it's just a different challenge.
And how are they going to, because we haven't even seen, listen, our reserve, they can't do that. Our reserve, it doesn't make sense. I know I'm losing my tits here just because of my hurricane.
Losing it.
You're going to send me to the bar right now, man. You're going to put me back morning.
You're going to the bar anyway.
No, but like, listen, let's be honest. Our reserve flyoff, who is going to take bonus points? Our reserve flyoff is Marshall. Is Marshall.
No, it's a thingy.
No, man, Marshall started.
It's Gordon Bashup.
No, man, right now it's Marshall that they move in here because Bashup hasn't been performing. So Bashup hasn't got that
match. You played last weekend.
Did I watch that game last weekend? No, I didn't.
You guys are fine. You guys are fine.
No, we're not.
You've got.
We're losing Scudder. And fine, we haven't seen him the whole season. Scudder's going.
What's wrong with Scudder now? What did he break?
Scudder's also Mr. Glass and stuff like that, but he's fantastic to watch.
Scudder's gone. But you've still got...
Proctor's going.
Ooh, but Billy's there. Not Matt Proctor. Billy's there. His younger brother.
Yeah, we just saw Billy perform in Argentina. You're not filling me with faith.
One man does not win a competition. I mean, Scott Gregory was also there. And fuck, we had who from our team was there, from the Chiefs was there, man. I forgot his name, the winger.
Was he the winger with the dreadlocks? That boy's talented.
No, not him. The winger. Nana Isaturo was there. It happens, bro. Mm-hmm. These things happen. Mm-hmm. That junior All Blacks team, but they got chired by Australia 20. Remember I told you they lost 27-0 to Australia earlier.
Yeah. Even in the pants.
Yeah. In the Oceania or whatever, they got chired 27-0. That's what I'm saying. Australia will not lose to France. Not a fucking
arm. France won that game against SA by penalties.
But they still won.
Yes,
but listen, just don't write them off because France are holding champions.
You know what?
France are holding champions. You people are writing people off. These are holding champions. When's the last time Australia was in a final? You guys don't realize how things change on that big stage. You're just calling it early. France are now used to it. They're now They weren't even supposed to make the final, and they still made the final. How much confidence will that fill you with?
France, will, I'll tell you one thing. France will win. Which France will win if Jordan Joseph is on song. That's the number 8. Mm-hmm. The 18-year-old.
Well, that idiot was playing for Racing.
He was fucking 17 last year when they won.
And he was still bullying guys, bro.
He's massive. Oh!
Massive.
If Jordan Joseph is on song, France will win. If he's not, Australia have too much. Australia have too much class. They've got too much running. The way those boys run, I have not seen running rugby like it. But I guess now it makes sense because, no, a schoolboy rugby in Australia is sick. It is unbelievable. I was watching a thing on YouTube called The Season on Nudge.
Plus, also, they're not shy to import.
Yeah, I know. Really. No, they're not shy.
I wonder why.
They're not shy to
import. There's a school called Nudge College. I was watching the GPS Premiership. Holy fuck. You compare that? Just go. It's on YouTube. It's literally 25 minutes an episode.
Yeah, when I find
The season. Nudge College. Oh my gosh. Some of the rugby those kids play. The footwork. The skill level. Okay. No, it makes sense.
The problem. Which really is what we should be actually instilling. Not like. But footwork is not something we work on here in Zim. It's either you can do it or you can't. And I guess you don't see, I know I'm coming back to him, you don't see Adi Savia. Fair and fine, he can step. But it's also footwork. When he hits contact, he keeps that leg drive going, small steps.
That's why you do
and it powers ladders. Through. That's why you do speed ladders and everything. Like I don't think we really focus on footwork and attacking the space.
Even the offload. I've argued with people. I've just told my players that, like, guys, when you offload, when Sonny Bill Williams does this, that's not by mistake. You work on it. You can perfect an offload. You can perfect it.
But, like, at the same time, it's just like if you want to start coaching offloads, you got to start with leg drive. You can't be offloading if you're dominated in the tackle.
No, you cannot.
You've got to
win the contest.
You got to, your little micro battles. You got to get past that shoulder to open up your arms and stuff like that. If you're getting cleaned and you're running directly, at the man.
No, you do the guy.
Definitely.
I've seen that happen too much.
So before you even go far to offloading, it's definitely footwork and it's definitely attacking outside the shoulder.
Attacking the right shoulder, attacking the space. Before we even get to that, it's you as the ball carrier, the playmaker. You looking at defenders, you shaping.
In Zim schoolboy rugby, are we even, do the scrum ups even box kick?
Yeah, they do.
They do? Okay.
They do.
For the last time.
No,
time I was here, there was nothing going on.
The Saints game against Johns, that was one of the best.
Can we agree on one thing?
What?
Box kicking in Zim is something which has picked up. Maybe not in schoolboy, but like in club rugby, it has picked up recently.
Yeah, people in
before people in club rugby, there was nothing.
No, but at the same time, what's the point of box kicking to your number 11, who friend fine can dance and does 100 meters in like sub 10 seconds, but is like 5'2"? But we don't have the tallest wings. Let's be honest.
No, we don't. We don't have. Well, we actually, you know, this is the sad thing is we actually do have some size, like in our high school rugby. But then again, they just get lost in
the system.
They just get lost in the system.
Or get bought by another country.
we should check how many ex-Zim players are in this World Cup. Because last year there was 6.
You don't even.
No, there was a guy who did it last. Who did it actually? International teams last year. He had a board. And you say trying to see which countries still have the most players playing elsewhere for other countries.
It must be South Africa, though.
Yeah, obviously.
It must be South Africa.
Until after fucking... Where do you ever see a Scotsman called it W? Via P&L. Yeah, hi. Your name's Via P&L? No. Josh Strauss plays for Scotland. Hugh Jones. Okay, well, Hugh Jones, yeah, he's not really South African. He's Scottish. He's
Scottish, yeah.
He's a Scotsman that got bought by UCT to win Varsity Cup.
By any means necessary. I don't know why you're not just jumping on UCT story. We have been terrible lately.
But you know why you've been terrible? Guess who? You know what the issue is, right?
No, not even. We got waxed by some. No, like personally, he's my friend on Facebook. I can't comment in any way. Be held accountable. But I actually went. I went to update my skills, and he actually walked in, and I actually tuned him. I was just like, "Why did you destroy UCD rugby?" But I said it as a joke. But I'm not too sure. I think he's a good quality coach. But
you guys, what UCT do is now they recruit a bit too much. I don't think you guys place much faith in your young guns. To be honest with you, I think you're losing the recruitment battle. By recruit, I mean you're recruiting from other universities. You're losing the recruitment battle with Marty's.
You know. Martis doesn't recruit. Martis develops its own talent. They don't call some two guys down for the season.
You're losing the recruitment battle for high school.
Martis don't play, bro. Isn't Martis the biggest rugby club? Like, listen, when you go to varsity and you want to play for your varsity, let me tell you about Martis. When you go to varsity and you want to play for your varsity and you're like, I want to play rugby, and you go there as a little first year, you get there to that first rugby practice, the guys stand there in front of you. They say, everyone who played Craven Week, go this side. Everyone who is not provincially, has not represented a provincial level, you go that side. All the guys who are not capped provincially, they go play Res Rugby. So as soon as you play against an under-19 Martis team, all of those guys are all provincial level. They don't have to recruit. Boys who want to up their rugby to go straight to Martis.
What UCT doing now is fair and fine. It works to a certain extent, but you're recruiting quite a number of guys who've played Varsity Shield, which again, look, Varsity Shield is competitive for one or two games. The rest is shite. The rest you're playing is fucking CPUT and Fort Hare and all of that. So now you've got guys from UWC. You're bringing people from UWC.
But we're being very... UWC is now up. They got promoted.
Fuck, bro. How the fuck did they get... Like, let me not say why. Because I know what happened.
So say it.
Well...
Wasn't PG there? Wasn't Peter de Villiers
there? We played when he was there. We fucking tried them. And when we had John Mitchell. So anyway. But what happened was... UKZN had... It was literally Sharks under-21s. That's literally what was the team. Like, literally. It was Sharks under-21s and then a few of us Zimbo guys. They're here and there.
Typically.
And, like, first year, we lost to CUT in the final. And then we lost to UJ. Because we got a yellow card. We lost to UJ by, like, 4 points.
Oh, that's that promotion game afterwards, yeah?
I got the yellow card, by the way. It wasn't my fault.
What did you do?
UCT made me laugh, bro. UCT made me laugh. They had that terrible season. And then they went to the playoff. And all of a sudden, you see Hilton Roberts, ex-Springbok, running on for UCT. Like, this nigga never went to university.
Yeah, exactly. So
I see you have a point about the recruiting.
They're recruiting former Varsity Shield players, which is fair. It's all fair and fine. But then they're not... What can I say?
Be blunt.
They're not getting the standard of player that they should.
Okay.
That's the issue. And like a few of the guys that have been recruited by UCT, they're mates of mine. And like a lot of them are good players, but you get a wing who's 5'6", weighs 80 kg, clearly he's a sevens guy. But now he's starting for UCT Varsity Cup.
Yeah, no, I don't
know. How do you expect him to stop the guy from Martis?
I need a six foot two winger. I need to touch base and speak to the guys and see exactly what's going on.
No, you need to.
Because there was a friend of mine that was coaching and he was just like, listen, with the way it is, UCT used to take all people. It just wasn't a student thing, but they've changed that. So it's 100% students normally that you see playing. And apparently... Yeah. Those guys lack the physicality. Apparently, they've become quite soft. They're not as physical as we used to be.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, you also, like, again, the issues with Varsity Cup haven't been as... They've been changed. They change the rules all the time. You know how Varsity Cup
works. They changed the
eligibility rules and all of that. And now it's gotten to a point where, because of UCT are at a crossroads. Do we sacrifice the academic part for the rugby program?
They'll never sacrifice the academic. UCT as an institution did not give two shits about sports I'll tell you that much. Until all of a sudden, Varsity Cup and this Varsity and the publicity game, that's when all of a sudden they were like, okay, all right, cool. Otherwise, they didn't give two shits about him.
I mean, it's actually quite sad. It's actually quite sad in a way. But I mean, like, how are you going to compete with fucking Martis? Martis are just animals, bro. Did you watch this year's Varsity Cup? Holy shit.
Didn't they donor everyone? Everyone got 30, 20 points.
Everyone got thumped.
And wasn't it even a contest?
No, it was like, okay, Martis-ish.
Do we need to discuss the Sharks-Brumbies game?
You know, to be quite honest, I honestly think the Sharks could probably do it.
Yeah.
Those guys, I don't know who in the Sharks team. I don't know who the Sharks team have girlfriends outside the country, but those guys play a lot better when they're not home.
But you know, the second largest population of South Africans outside of South Africa is in Australia.
Yeah, those guys play well.
You know that, right?
I mean, they drew with the Satyrs at home, which is no mean feat. Even if you say the Satyrs were having an off day,
and I think they'll be able to take the Brumbies on with their rolling one.
Because unfortunately the Brumbies are the closest team to play South African rugby internationally.
With their forward movement.
They're rolling more. I mean, their top try scorer is the hooker and he's just at the back of the ball. He's up there with 10 tries. And none of those were as a line break, I'll tell you that much. It's all a driving
line break, bro. And all his 10 tries is probably a combined of about, 30 running meters? If even, bro. Actually, 30 is even being too kind.
So, 22. Honestly, I'm coming across and I'm saying the Sharks have a chance.
Yeah, they do.
So, okay. So, we're saying Sharks, Satyrs, Chiefs.
I'm about to show you. New Zealand derby is always tricky. So, that one's
there. It'll be Satyrs. I think it'll be Satyrs. I don't think the Landers have enough in the tank. They're not as good. Like, the Crusaders are the most complete team in that competition.
Mm.
And I know we say what happens on the day, but fuck. Like,
true.
So basically, we're looking at an all New Zealand final.
No, I think Jaguares have a chance.
No.
I think Jaguares, because they all have to go play them at home. If they don't slip up to the Chiefs, the next team has to go play them down that side. They have momentum.
They will slip up
to the Chiefs. And the only time they have to travel is when they go play the Crusaders.
They will slip up to the Chiefs. Jaguares get through the Chiefs, I'll be shocked.
Okay.
Jaguar is a very emotional team.
So the only place where there's possible unknown outcomes is Chiefs Jaguars.
No, it's not unknown.
And Sharks Brumbies.
Ah, check. Sharks.
You reckon?
I reckon Sharks.
I reckon.
No, but the Brumbies, Sharks. Guys, the Brumbies have picked up the game. They have improved as the season has gone.
Is Spade playing?
I have no idea. Spade is playing. I think it will probably be one of his few last games. Because isn't he going to the Reds?
Do you know which team disappointed me this season, this last round?
Mm-hmm.
What's his name? Quaid play for?
Oh, the Rebels. They started like a house on fire.
They were killing it.
They were getting hit pump press.
In that last game, Quaid gave away like two tries.
Quaid had his foot in the door at the. Because Foley, let's be honest, Foley is not firing at Flav.
He was going to get picked for that Aussie
World Cup. He was going to make the Aussie team, but I don't know. But to be quite honest, I think they'll be dumb not to go with Quaid. I mean, who else is the other option?
But Quaid is unpredictable. That's the issue. That's always been the issue with Quaid.
It's the World Cup. You need an unpredictable player.
Because him and Guinea, beginning of this season, they were sorting it out.
They were efficient.
They were sorting it out. And I was like, welcome back, Quaid. I missed you.
And like, Quaid, you must, like, listen, even though he messes up sometimes, you must understand his peripheral vision.
Oh, he sees the game.
He sees things.
He sees
from his cross kicks, which are actually quite pinpoint.
Definitely.
He takes risks, which is something that I enjoy. He hardly dies with the ball.
Yeah, his off-road game is on point.
So I think you should still take him. I honestly think you should still take him.
What's Australia's other option besides Quaid?
It's Foley. and then maybe the captain of the Brumbies. It's not Tomoa. What's his name? He recovered from. Who's the captain of the Brumbies who retired from? Who recovered from cancer?
Liefano.
No, that's not him.
It is Christian Liefano.
Yeah, Liefano, Christian.
Liefano, yeah.
Otherwise, if they.
Kimi, I think.
Yeah, because I mean, to be quite honest on performance, I mean, his quality. I don't think Foley should get the starting berth.
Foley should never get the starting. Foley's shit.
Oh my god,
he's fucking shit.
Nigga, right. Man, mixing words here.
No, I'm not mixing words. He's shit. He's ginger. He's a prick. You can quote me on that. No offense to all ginger to all the auburn haired ladies.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, if you're a lady or you've got auburn hair, if you're a dude, you're a ginger cunt. Sorry for dropping the C bomb. We might have to edit that out.
Definitely edit that out. Especially since my name is there. It was Obe who encouraged him to say such things. No man, I'm trying to leave a minimal
you
carbon.
Told me that word.
I'm trying to leave a minimal carbon footprint while I'm here, man.
Well, let's see how the under 21. So, who's calling it
21s? I said already.
Australia. You say?
As much as I put up a brave front for France, I'll probably go Australia as well.
Yeah, Australia playing running rugby. Keep an eye out for what's his name? 15. Ah,
forgot. I say it depends.
Unbelievable player. The 9 as well, McDonald.
Yeah.
Savage player. Ridiculous player. Garoud, your little brother's doing well, my friend. I know his brothers, that's what I'm saying. So I just gave him a shout.
Good looking out. Well, it's been the Clubhouse, episode 12. Thank you. Always
treat that shit.